If you drop that, I'm going to castrate you, Piper warns as she and Harley, carrying her toolbox, follow them onto the roof.
Trust me, guys, she'll do it, Harley warns.
Chuck and Jimmy pretend the structure is slipping. Ruby, Beth, and I gasp, despite knowing it's only a joke, and Piper and Fletch yell at them. Chuck and Jimmy just laugh.
If you fuck this up for Destiny, I will slaughter you, Fletch promises.
And I'll be right behind him, Beth chimes in. Who are these people? Ruby asks. I love them. Aren't they great? The pregnant blonde is Piper, and the guy with her is her husband, Harley. They're Frankie's parents? Yeah, and the other guys are Fletch's brothers, Chuck and Jimmy. And the blonde is Beth, Jimmy's fiance. Beth and I have been keeping in touch since we met, but she never let on that they were coming today.
She's a good secret keeper. I like that in a friend.
Speaking of secret keepers, I look at Fletch and call out, "Did you know about this?" He grins like a Cheshire cat.
They asked if I thought you'd mind a few days ago.
Mind? I'm thrilled. Come on, Rube, I'll introduce you and John. After bear hugs, introductions, and some good-natured heckling, the guys carry up the rest of the tower and the flowers arrive. The rooftop is filled with activity and jovial conversations as we all set up. I'm overwhelmed at how big my small circle of friends has become. As usual, my emotions get the best of me, and tears threaten. A familiar set of strong arms circles my waist, and Fletch's deep voice whispers in my ear.
How's the great mastermind holding up?
I turn in his arms as tears spill from my eyes, and we both laugh. Sorry, it's a bit overwhelming, going from having only Ruby and John in my life to this. More tears fall, and I huff out a breath and wipe them away. It's times like these I wish I could hide my emotions. Nobody needs to see me crying. His brows knit, and he shakes his head.
It's times like these that make you even more beautiful.
He kisses me sweetly.
Don't ever change, sunshine. Hey, lover boy,
Chuck hollers.
You going to help us with this or get a room?
Jealous? Beth teases.
Nah, he can have the kisses as long as I get the cookies,
Chuck says.
But we've got work to do.
Are you nuts?
Don't give Fletch tools or we'll all be in trouble,
Jimmy calls out, sparking a slew of jokes about Fletch's inability to fix things, which has us all laughing. 3 hours later, everyone is left except for me and Fletch. I've gone over the evening's program with Rich and his staff for the last time. The photographer and violinist have arrived and know how to reach me if they need me, and I've confirmed with Arjun that everything is still on track. Fletch is taking pictures as we stand at the entrance to the roof, getting one last look at all our hard work. Battery-operated candles flicker along the stone path, which is sprinkled with red rose petals and snakes through the lush green turf, leading to the majestic Eiffel Tower. The stunning tower is covered in moss and boasts twinkling lights along the frame and is decorated with red and white roses. The lights of the town sparkle in the distance, just as I knew they would. More candles and rose petals lead to a gold easel holding a large sign with "Cafe of Love welcomes Arjun and Mara to the start of your happily ever after," written in French above an adorable picture of them taken on the day they met. Just beyond the easel is a table set for two with a bountiful floral centerpiece featuring the most important special moment card that reads, "The moment I knew I loved you, standing in the rain, waiting for the bus on that gloomy October afternoon." Champagne is chilling in a silver ice bucket beside the table, begging for a celebratory toast, and on either side of the entire proposal area setup, waterfall lights twinkle above stone-patterned barriers, draped in greenery and roses with planters along the bottoms. Each bundle of flowers prominently displays a special moment card. Fletch, I clutch his hand, heart racing. Am I dreaming, or is it as perfect as I think it is?
It's every bit as perfect. I knew it was going to be gorgeous, but sunshine, There are no words for what you've created here.
We did it. We actually did it. I throw my arms around him.
This is all you, baby. And once people get a look at the pictures of tonight, you're going to need to hire a crew bigger than just Beth to keep up with your clients.
I hope you're right.
We'd better get out of here before Arjun shows up.
I just need one sec. I look up at the sky and feel my parents smiling down on me. This is it, Daddy. I hope you and Mama enjoy the show. As we head downstairs, I'm giddy with excitement, but anxious, hoping Mara and Arjun are happy with the outcome. Do you want to take a walk or grab a bite to eat?
Yeah, let's grab a bite. I know a place right down the street, if that's okay.
You just spent all day helping me set up. I'll go anywhere you want, as long as there's cell service in case there's an issue. We walk down the street to a tall brick building. Fletch holds the door open for me, and as I step inside, it looks like a regular office building. There's a restaurant here? He eyes me coyly and puts a hand on my back, leading me down the hall to a maintenance elevator. He pulls out a key card and uses it to open the door. Fletch, what are you up to? We step inside, and he uses the card again. As the elevator rises, he gathers me in his arms, and he's all smiles.
You've worked so hard to set this up. I wanted to be sure you got to see it play out. My father works in this building. He pulled a few favors for us. We're heading up to the roof, but don't get too excited. It's just a roof.
Emotions bubble up inside me. No, it's not. It's a roof you brought me to see something that might never have come to fruition if you didn't show up at my door that first day and believe in me and teach me how to do it right and make sure I was protected legally. I'm getting choked up again and take a deep breath. You, my friend, are incredibly thoughtful, and it will never be just a roof to me. But we might be too far away to see them.
Maybe, but it's worth a shot.
The elevator doors open and we step out onto the roof. There's no Eiffel Tower, no waterfall lights or elaborate flooring, but my breath catches at the sight of an enormous telescope with a big red bow around it and a table set for two with a large pizza box in the middle from my favorite pizza place, a bottle of wine, wine glasses, and a vase of beautiful pink carnations. And because I'm me, my eyes tear up. How did you do all this when you've been with me the entire day?
A gentleman never tells. And stop eyeing my pizza. It's steak and pineapple, my favorite. If you're nice, maybe I'll share.
He's teasing. He picks off the pineapple and puts it on my slices. That's awfully generous of you. He kisses me and takes my hand.
Come on, sunshine. I don't want you to miss the big event.
We walk over to the telescope.
Have you ever used one of these?
I have a vague memory of using a small one in middle school, but it was nothing like this. It didn't have all those gadgets.
Well, this one is yours, and it's on an equatorial mount. I'll show you how to use all the gadgets later.
Mine? You got it for me? For tonight?
That's right, Sherlock. Now get over here and look through the lens.
He guides me in front of him.
It should be adjusted fairly well already, but you can turn this to focus it.
I peer through the lens and adjust the focus. Wow, I see them. It's like they're right in front of me.
Do you think I'd buy you a cheap telescope?
No, I didn't think you'd buy me any telescope. She's walking down the path. Do you want to see?
No, this is for you.
I'm so nervous for her. She's looking around, smiling so big. I think she likes it. They're in front of the tower. He's getting down on one knee. She's crying. I wonder what he's saying. He's standing up and putting the ring on her finger. She said yes. He got the yes. I throw my arms around Fletch again, both of us laughing. Thank you for thinking of this. I look through the telescope again, then turn away quickly.
What's wrong?
They're kissing. It feels wrong to watch.
I've got an idea.
He moves the telescope and fiddles with the dials on it.
Take a look through there and see if you can find your parents' stars.
I think you mean choose stars for tonight. I look through the lens. I can't get over how clear everything is. It looks like I can reach out and touch the stars. There are two bright ones right there. Look. I step back and let him look through the lens.
Looks like you found them. The one on the right is your mom, and the one on the left is your dad.
How do you know which is which?
Because your mother always held his right hand. And because I had those stars named for them. The star on the right is Bonnie Mama Amor, and the one on the left is Miguel Daddy Amor.
I can't tell if he's kidding. And then I realize I never told him my parents' names. How do you know their names? And what do you mean you had them named?
Ruby told me their names. The way you described your parents' love as being all-consuming, I figured their stars would be inseparable. So I found two orbiting stars, which are gravitationally bound to and in orbit around each other, and I had them registered with the International Space Registry. Now you'll always know where they are, and they're your parents' namesakes forever.
Tears spill down my cheeks as I try to wrap my head around what he's said. He pulls a black velvet pouch out of his pocket and empties it into his hand. He holds out his palm, showing me a rose gold necklace with two interlocking hearts on it.
These have their names and the coordinates of their stars on them, so you'll always have them with you.
He turns them over, showing me the inscriptions. You did this for me?
I know how important your parents are to you.
He moves behind me and gathers my hair over one shoulder, putting the necklace on me.
This way, you'll always know exactly where they are. I'll show you how to find the coordinates with your EQ mount, so you can see their stars anytime you want.
A sob breaks free, and I wrap my arms around him. This is the most special thing anyone has ever done for me.
Well, Sunshine, you're a special person.
I hug him tighter, my tears wetting his shirt as I choke out. For someone who doesn't believe in love, you sure do have a big heart.
Let's keep that between us.
I laugh through my tears, and there, beneath the stars that now carry my parents' names, I picture my own special moment card. That starry night on the rooftop, when I fell truly, madly, deeply in love with my best guy friend, and knew he would never be my checklist guy.
Chapter 27, Fletch. The week after Arjun's proposal passes with many highs, including celebrating Ruby's pregnancy with a night out. After work, we take walks with Molly, and every night Destiny looks at her parents' stars, and we fall into bed making love like we might never get another chance. Now it's the night before Jimmy and Beth's wedding, and we're at the rehearsal dinner. The practice run is over, and we're almost done eating when I'm hit with the strangest realization. There's a universal change that happens to college students the week of their final exams when reality hits and they realize they probably should have spent more time studying and less time dicking around. Those last days before the exams turn fun-loving players and party girls into anxious nail-biters, scrambling for excuses to tell their parents about why they're going to fail the exam, and turn serious students into laser-focused, neurotic messes. I always prided myself on being the laser-focused guy. Until now. As I watched my youngest brother, the ultimate party guy, practice for his big day, he wasn't anxious at all. It's like he's been preparing his whole life to become Beth Peterson's husband, and I know that's not the case. Whereas I've spent a fucking decade preparing myself to be alone, and as I look at Destiny sitting beside me telling Beth and her sister about the proposal she's putting together for her newest clients, my insides are churning like a grist mill. For the second time in my life, I am completely unprepared for what lies ahead. I never saw the end of my marriage coming. Not that I would have known how to go about preparing for it at the time, but I've known about the expiration date of my situationship, or whatever the hell this life-altering thing is between me and Destiny, since the start, and I feel like the nail-biting party guy who has pushed reality aside, telling myself I can handle the end of us and rendering myself completely unprepared. My father taps his spoon to his wine glass, drawing everyone else's attention, but I can't take my eyes off Destiny. She is gorgeous in a bright red halter dress, the necklace I gave her shimmering beneath the lights. I want to soak in every second of her that I can. She leans closer to me, whispering, "I feel you staring at me." "Good." I put my hand on her thigh, giving it a squeeze. Her smile widens, deepening the adorable dimple that gets me every time. "I think your dad is going to make a toast. We should pay attention." "Sorry, no can do," I whisper and kiss her. My father clears his throat. Destiny blushes as we look over, and my father lifts his glass. "Nice of you two to join us." Everyone laughs, and I point to Destiny. She can't keep her lips off me. She gasps, eyes wide as saucers. "That's not true!" I force myself to keep a straight face and cock a brow. "Those weren't your lips on mine? Okay, gobstopper girl." I hold my hands up in surrender and look around the table. It was all me, folks. All me. More laughter erupts, and I pull her into another kiss, turning all that laughter into cheers. I hug her, and she whispers, "Ryan Fletcher, you are awful." "That's not what you said in the shower this morning." I sit back like I didn't leave her slack-jawed and lace our hands together, giving my attention to my father, who's grinning approvingly. "Sorry, Dad." "It's all good, son." My father looks around the table. "Would anyone else like to take a minute to smooch before I say a few words?" "Hell yeah." Jimmy pulls Beth into a kiss and everyone laughs. When the chatter quiets, my father's expression turns thoughtful. "People say babies aren't born with personalities. They're born with temperaments, and their character and personality develop over time. I disagree. Each of our sons had very distinct personalities from the moment they were born. Chuck was demanding. He'd cry loud and often, and he had a knack for turning red, which made his mother and I act fast every time he cried. Ryan was a quiet observer. I swear he'd wait until everyone had what they needed and everything around him was calm, yes, I'm talking about Chuck, before he'd vie for our attention. Then came Jimmy, the happiest baby I'd ever seen. I think he came out of his mother's womb laughing. There we were, two young adults raising a ruler, a sentinel, and a jester." Chuckles rise around us, and Destiny squeezes my hand. "I remember thinking we were outnumbered, and by the time they were teenagers, they'd run us through the ringer." My father looks at each of us. "And they did, to an extent. But when Chuck was acting like a bull in a china shop and Ryan was trying to rein him in, which was interesting, to say the least, Jimmy never failed to turn the tide with his wild antics and zest for humor. But when the ruler, the sentinel, and the jester were left alone, it was like putting them in a melting pot. We never knew who was going to come out." Everyone laughed. "I'm proud of all my sons and who they've become. Jimmy, I know you're going to make an excellent husband and father. I can say that with complete confidence because Beth has known how to wrangle you into submission since you were 2 years old."
"I'll keep him in line," Beth calls out.
"I know you will, sweetheart," he says. "Mary and I couldn't be happier to call you our daughter-in-law. But marriage is hard, and there will be times when you try each other's patience and have trouble remembering why you made your vows. We have faith you'll go the distance, but as parents, we wanted to give you some profound advice that might help you get through those tough times. The best I could come up with was for Jimmy to learn to say, 'Yes, dear,' and sound sincere." We all laugh.
"As you can imagine, that got nixed pretty quickly," my mother said.
"We were stuck," my father adds. "But then we had the pleasure of meeting Ryan's girlfriend, Destiny." Everyone looks over, and Destiny's eyes widen again. "Destiny is a proposal planner, and she told us about special moment cards she made for a couple representing their most memorable times together. That was a good reminder that love isn't always loud. It can be, but more often than not, it's the smaller, quieter things that create the unbreakable bond. Like doing the things your partner loves, even if you think they're silly, and being there for them when they need you, and even when they don't. It's always, without fail, having their back, which means supporting their dreams and telling them when they have spinach in their teeth. He pauses for the chuckles. But that doesn't mean one of you should silence your opinions or accept anything you're not comfortable with. Love is arguing and compromising and coming to decisions that are best for both of you. He turns to Jimmy and Beth. With all of that in mind, we've put together a brief video collage of special moments that we hope will remind you of why you fell in love. And our advice to you is when you hit those rocky roads, which you will, find the strength and patience to watch this video together. Hopefully it'll be enough of a reminder to practice that same patience with each other. We love you both. He raises his glass and we all follow suit. To Jimmy and Beth, may their hearts stay warm and their future children bring them as much joy and worry as they did to us. There's a round of cheers and glasses clinking as a screen lowers from the ceiling across the room. As pictures of Jimmy and Beth at varying ages appear, laughing, hugging, and arguing, I put my arm around Destiny, who's wiping her eyes and kiss her temple, whispering, "Are you okay?" She nods.
"I love this. You don't mind if I borrow your family when I get married, do you?"
Fucking hell. Is she serious? You're not getting married without us, Sunshine.
Good.
She leans against my shoulder. I put my arm around her, keeping her close while we watch the video. A picture appears of our families at the lake. Chuck and I are about 7 and 5. We're wearing baseball caps, beaming at the camera as we hold up the fish we caught. Beside me, Jimmy, who's probably 3, is holding the head of his fish between his teeth. He's waving with both hands, and Beth is trying to pull the fish out of his mouth. We all laugh as the picture fades and another appears of all of us on my father's boat. Beth and Jimmy are crouched behind me, grinning like the evil geniuses they are as I sleep on the deck. Jimmy is holding a bottle of suntan lotion and Beth is pointing to my stomach on which they've written "dork" with the suntan lotion. More laughter ensues. The next picture was taken that same day of me and Chuck putting fish down the backs of Beth's and Jimmy's bathing suits.
"I know I've said it before, but you're lucky to have such a great family,"
Destiny whispers as more pictures appear, and all I can think about is how lucky I am to have this time with her. As the evening rolls on, we mingle in the banquet room and on the balcony. Beth dragged Destiny away to hang with the other girls from the wedding party a while ago, and her laughter floats around me like a drug I can't resist. My father sidles up to me, following my gaze to Destiny.
"She fits right in, doesn't she?"
"Yeah. She and Beth have gotten close the last couple of weeks."
"And you're not running in the opposite direction?"
I swirl my drink around the ice in my glass. "That's the last thing I want to do."
"Don't let your mother hear that, or she'll be planning your wedding."
"I'm smarter than that." His expression turns serious.
"Are you still anti-marriage?"
"Honestly, I don't know where I stand on that anymore, but I'm happy with Destiny, and I'd like to see where we end up." I can't believe how easily that came out, especially now, when we're on the cusp of ending things. Shit, what am I thinking? I gulp down my drink. "If you'll excuse me, I'm going to hit the men's room." I set my glass on the table and head out of the banquet room, following the signs for the bathroom down the hall. I pass the ladies' room and turn the corner into the men's room. Thank God it's empty. I splash cold water on my face and pace the floor, needing to get my head on straight. Destiny's comment about borrowing my fucking family was a damn wake-up call. I don't want to think about her with another guy. My hands curl into fists as I wear a path in the floor. What the hell am I doing? This is bullshit. What am I afraid of? I fucking love her. That stops me cold. Holy shit. I don't just love who you are and being with you. I'm in love with you. My chest constricts, and I lift my gaze to the mirror, expecting to see a man I don't recognize staring back at me. But I know this guy. He spent 10 years afraid to put himself out there, afraid of being blindsided again. Dozens of people have tried to change my mind about love, and not one of them incited a second thought. Until Destiny. She blindsided me. But I don't want to run from her love. But will she want to run from mine? Pacing again, I try to figure that out. There's no way she can fake the emotions I feel in her touch and see in the way she looks at me. There's no way this is one-sided. The devil on my shoulder hisses, "She isn't afraid of love. She can't help but blurt out her feelings, and she hasn't done that with you." No shit, asshole. Mentally racing through the last few weeks, my own voice slams into me. "I'm not looking for a relationship, sunshine, and I'm definitely not looking for love. So let's be damn sure we're on the same page this time, because I do not want to hurt you with another misunderstanding." I told her not to fall for me. I grab onto that like it's a brass ring, but that damn devil won't relent. "Wake the fuck up, grumpy no-love Gus. You're setting yourself up for heartbreak. There might be a fine line between lust and love to most people, but to Destiny Amore, it's a ravine. One not easily crossed, and certainly not by a man who doesn't nail nearly every item on her checklist." My gut roils, and I lean my hands on the sink and close my eyes. What the hell am I doing? Do I really want to walk out that door and lay my heart on the line knowing she might trample it? I lift my gaze to the mirror. Fuck yeah, I do. I rise to my full height and square my shoulders. I push through the bathroom door and stop at the sound of Destiny's voice coming from around the corner. "It's not like that, Beth. He doesn't meet anything on my checklist, well, except the things he inspired, but those don't count." "So what? It's a stupid list." "It's not stupid. I've poured my heart into that list and lived by it for years. Not taking it seriously now is like going to an ice cream shop wanting a 3-scoop sundae with hot fudge and butterscotch and all the toppings, and the guy behind the counter hands you a plain vanilla cone." "Well, if you put it that way..." Their voices fade as they head out of the corridor. Gutted, I sink back against the wall, and for the first time in my life, I can't remember how to breathe.
Chapter 28, Destiny. I had so much fun with Beth and her sister and their friends, I say as we drive into Harmony Point. Did you see the way Chuck was flirting with Beth's bridesmaid, Katie? When the girls and I were on the patio, he came outside to talk to her, and we all thought they were going to start making out. They didn't, of course, but I bet they made plans to meet up later. They'd make a good couple, don't you think?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. I think they'd be great together. What a fun night. I'm so happy you brought me with you. I gaze out the window as we drive down the main drag. I really loved what your dad said about you and your brothers and watching that video. I touch the hearts on my necklace. Do you know how many times I touched my necklace tonight? I really do feel closer to my parents wearing it. Thank you again. As he pulls into our neighborhood, I realize I've been talking the whole way home. Listen to me rambling. I didn't give you a chance to get a word in edgewise. What did you think of the night?
It was nice,
he says as he drives past his house. I thought we were staying at your place tonight.
Change of plans, sunshine.
He turns onto my street. Oh, okay. Should we get Molly? He pulls into my driveway and cuts the engine.
No, she's fine.
The hair on the back of my neck prickles as he climbs out and comes around to open my door. He offers me his hand, like usual, but as we walk up to the door, he doesn't keep holding it or put his hand on my back or anything. Fletch, did I do something to bother you tonight?
No. You're great. Everyone loved you.
Then what's wrong? This feels like it did the day we scouted locations for Arjun's proposal.
It's not like that, sunshine.
Oh, good. Relief rushes through me.
That was a misinterpretation. This is a decision. My stomach plummets. I think the world of you, Destiny, and I love spending time together. But I can't lie to my family anymore, pretending we're falling in love when we both know damn well that I don't do love is wrong. I never should have asked you to go to the wedding with me. It was a mistake. It wasn't fair to you, and it certainly wasn't fair to my family, and I'm truly sorry for that.
Tears well in my eyes, and I'm trembling so bad my teeth chatter. I want to tell him he's wrong. It wasn't a mistake. But my mother's voice forces me to hold my head up high. Smart girls don't beg for love, and true love doesn't require begging. I guess I didn't do a very good job of changing your mind about love.
If anyone could do it, it would be you, Sunshine. It's just not in the cards for me. But I hope you find who you're looking for.
He leans in to kiss my cheek, and I close my eyes, memorizing the feel of his lips for the last time as my heart shatters like glass. When he turns to leave, I fumble with my keys, hurrying inside seconds before the dam breaks. Sobs burst from my lungs as I close the door, and my knees give out, sending me crumpling to the floor in a wailing, boneless, heartbroken heap. I gasp for breath between violent, painful eruptions and curl up in a ball, trying to stop the pain, but the sobs keep coming. I cry out in frustration, my voice echoing in the empty house, amplifying my pain. I don't know how long I lie there sobbing, but it feels like forever. When Clementine finds me and licks tears and snot from my face, I sit up, feeling numb. Like an empty shell of a falling star. I dig my phone out of my purse. Too depleted to get up, I lie back down as I navigate to my father's number. His craggy voice draws more sobs, and when the voicemail tone sounds, my voice cracks. Daddy! I drag air into my lungs and close my eyes, clutching my necklace. I messed up. I was wrong. I gasp. Fletch doesn't love me back. Emotions clog my throat, and I just lie there crying into the phone. I wish you were here. I don't even know what I need. My breath comes in sharp hiccups. How can it hurt so much? The time on the voicemail runs out, and that's when it hits me the hardest. Nobody's coming to push me back up to the sky.
Chapter 29, Fletch. This is the shittiest fucking night ever. It's been hours since I left Destiny, and the ache of missing her has seeped into my bones. I tried to sleep in my bed, but everything reminds me of her. I have no fucking idea how I ever slept in that damn bed without her. So now I'm on the couch, not sleeping, and Molly's pawing me like I forgot to bring her favorite girlfriend home with me. She whines for the millionth time, and I open my eyes. She's sitting next to the couch with the green blanket in her mouth, staring at me. I know you miss her. I fucking miss her, too. How could I have misread her feelings for us? That's not fair. I know she loves Molly. As if Molly knows what I'm thinking, she whines again, pawing my leg. I turn onto my back and put my forearm over my eyes, trying to block out my thoughts, but my head is a fucking battlefield. How could she write me off because of a fucking checklist that she probably started when she was 15? None of it makes sense. She looked devastated when I ended things. Did she dupe me? It wouldn't be the first time. Elena can testify to that. Molly, pause me again. I know she didn't dupe me, I snap. She doesn't have a mean-spirited bone in her body. Molly whines, pawing me again. I reluctantly turn my head and see paper hanging out of her mouth. What is that? I snag it. It's the card Destiny left on the counter Thursday morning when she headed out early to meet with a potential client. I sit up, glancing at the end table where I keep the cards, and see a bunch of them sticking out. Did I forget to close the drawer, or... I look at Molly and raise my brows. She barks and pushes her nose into the card. I must really be losing it, but I don't fucking care. If Destiny can look for signs, so can I. I open the card and her loopy handwriting makes my chest ache.
Good morning. It was fun having dinner with John and Ruby last night, but my favorite part of the evening was dessert.
You!
Is it just me? Or was Molly looking at us like we were doing it wrong?
Ha! By the way, don't think for a minute that I'm going to let you get away scot-free for not singing karaoke with me again. That was your last free pass. One of these days, I'm going to get you to sing. Stop shaking your head. I am. You can't resist me forever.
Have an amazing day thinking of me. XO Sunshine.
P.S. I know how to get you to sing. The next time you turn me down, I'll turn you down in bed.
P.P.S. Scratch that. That's punishing me, too.
P.P.P.S.
You're still not off the hook. Next time, there will be consequences.
The tiny heart over the eye in Sunshine cuts like a knife, but I know I'm not wrong. There's love in every line she wrote. As I eye the overflowing drawer, my certainty is inescapable. My father was right. Love doesn't have to be loud. Her love is in all the quiet things she does. The notes she leaves me, the treats, the socks. It's in the way she talks about Molly needing pretty things. I didn't make the mistake she did by writing me off because of a fucking checklist. Fuming, my heart pounding, I push to my feet. Molly pops to all fours, tail wagging, following me as I pace. She loves both of us. I know she does. I don't care what her stupid checklist says. She made it before she met us. I didn't even want a woman in my life before I met her, much less a noisy, messy one, and I sure as hell didn't want love. I don't even bother with Molly's leash as I head for the door. Let's go talk some sense into our girl. I run out the door, and Molly bolts ahead of me, charging down the street and around the corner. I sprint after her, and as I turn the corner, I see Molly running into Destiny's side yard. Damn it, don't take off now. I chase after her, staring into the darkness at the field behind Destiny's house, but I don't see her anywhere.
Molly!
Where the hell is she? I spin around, and my heart fucking stops. Destiny's sitting with her legs folded beneath her, her arms around Molly, her face buried in her fur, and Molly's tail is flapping against the patio right beside the telescope. As my legs eat up the distance between us, Destiny looks up with tear-soaked, puffy eyes and a red nose, twisting the knife in my chest deeper.
I don't know what you did to my parents' stars, but they're gone. What else are you going to do? Run over my cat?
I didn't know. I'm here to tell you that I heard what you said to Beth about ice cream and me not ticking off anything on your damn checklist. And you know what? If I had been looking for a woman when we met, you wouldn't have made the cut either. Her lower lip trembles, tears welling in her eyes. You're disorganized, messy as hell, and impulsive to the point of being reckless. You talk in tangents and use candy references that sound like you're talking about blowjobs to my family. And you love everyone. You'd probably find something to love about the devil himself and convince the rest of us to love him, too. She lifts her chin, tears flooding her cheeks.
I like who I am.
I know you do. And you're holding out for Mr. Wright, a guy who ticks all your boxes. I never wanted to be your checklist guy, Destiny. Hell, when we met, I didn't want to be anything more than a guy who was helping you not make the same mistake twice. I step closer, lowering my voice. But that boundless heart of yours drew me in with every tangent, every laugh, every wrinkle of your adorable nose. And guess what, Sunshine? I fell in love with you and all those things that make you the incredibly special person you are. I can't do anything about not having milk chocolate eyes or neat feet. But you want killer dance moves? I'll take a class. You want rough around the edges? I'll stop shaving, get my clothes dirty, and use improper grammar. You want me to learn to fix things? I'm a fast learner. I'll start hanging out with Marshall more. You want a guy who's not afraid to talk about his feelings? That's going to take some time, but I'll work on communicating better. Her brow wrinkles, tears spilling down her cheeks. I know you want love and marriage and babies.
I didn't think I was capable of loving anyone ever again, but you've proven me wrong. And if you hadn't written me off, who knows what would have happened. One day, maybe I'd be able to give you the rest. God knows I want to. I don't know what else is on your list, other than a guy who puts love above all else, but whatever it is, I'll do my best to check those boxes, too. I splay my hands. I'm far from your ideal, Mr. Wright, but I'm asking you to reconsider that ridiculous checklist and give Mr. Try Real Hard, the Orgasm King, a real shot with no expiration date. She pushes to her feet, tears flowing.
You're an idiot, Ryan Fletcher.
She turns on her heels and walks inside. My gut seizes. Molly gives me a disgusted look and trots after her. Fuck, what have I done? Destiny walks back outside, clutching a notebook to her chest, and my traitorous dog sticks to her like glue.
You're a sucky eavesdropper. You should have listened longer,
she says with a painful mix of emotions.
If you had, you would have heard me tell Beth that I made a new list, and it wasn't for a stupid ice cream sundae. It was for the whole damn ice cream shop.
She thrusts the pink notebook with Mr. Wright checklist scrawled across the front in sparkly gold ink into my hands.
Go ahead, open it. The changes and all the things you inspired are in caps.
I open it, scanning the modified list. Not too tall, big men, big egos. Capital letters. He's the perfect height. Has moves like, crossed out Jagger, Barney, in capital letters. Neat feet, great hands, in capital letters. Rough around the edges, loves the outdoors, in capital letters. Can fix anything. Knows people who can fix things, in capital letters. Dark hair and eyes like milk chocolate. Dirty blonde hair, eyes like the clear blue sky, capital letters. Puts love above all else. He doesn't realize he's in love yet, but I have faith. Capital letters. Isn't afraid to talk about his feelings. Work in progress. Capital letters. Romantic in his own special way. Capital letters. Good kisser. Gives me unforgettable kisses. Capital letters. Will dance in the rain. He did. Capital letters. Wants tons of kids. No, but I would be happy with one. Negotiate. Capital letters. As I read, the pain deepens. Did I fuck this up too badly to fix it? Crossed out. Doesn't mind my mess. Puts up with my mess. Capital letters. Isn't put off by my tangents and can follow along. He can. Capital letters. Spontaneous after moments of consideration. He's a planner. Capital letters. Steady and stable. He is. Capital letters. Will love me forever. I know he will, but he might not realize it yet. Capital letters. Adventurous. In the bedroom. Capital letters. Loves karaoke as much as I do. Supports me singing karaoke. Capital letters. Loves family. Yes, mine and his. Capital letters. Loves animals. He lets them sleep in the bed. Capital letters. Lets me cut his hair. Unsure. Capital letters. Lets me eat off his plate. He's a great sharer, capital letters. Honest to a fault, always, capital letters. I wasn't honest when I ended things, but I came clean. Please don't let it be too late. Comfortable in any situation, except karaoke, working on that, capital letters. Looks good in jeans or dressed up and naked. He's exceptional, capital letters. Give me fireworks, orgasm king, capital letters. All capital letters. Must have squeezable peach. Calls me a cute nickname. Says all the right things. Strong enough to sweep me off my feet. All capital letters. Understands my need to talk to my parents. Knows what I want and need most of the time. All capital letters. Isn't afraid to tell me I'm wrong. Helps me be the best I can be. Makes me laugh and feel loved. All capital letters. Good with spreadsheets. Excellent caregiver. Ryan, no love, grumpy Gus, stoic Sam, aloof Adam Fletcher owns my heart, and no one else will ever come close. With my heart in my throat, I lift my eyes to hers. I'm sorry, Des. I shouldn't have assumed. I was on my way to ask you if you wanted to forget the expiration date and give us a real shot when I heard you talking to Beth, and it knocked the wind out of me. It threw me right back to the end of my marriage, and I figured I had missed the signs like I did back then. Couldn't you tell it wasn't true, or there had to be more to it by the way I am with you? I didn't know what to believe. You've been saying things like when we break up and talking about when you get married. Because I'm in love with you, and I thought you were still against love. You're in love with me? Yes, you fool, and I had to say those things. I was trying to convince myself that I was going to be okay when our arrangement ended. Her brows knit, her tone softening. Or maybe I was hoping you'd say you didn't want to break up. I don't know what I was doing. I definitely miss those signs. Then you can understand why I wasn't sure what to believe. She nods, and I set the notebook on the patio table and take her hand. I'm sorry for assuming the worst. I love you, sunshine, and I will never stop trying to be everything you want and need. Don't you get it? You already are. She puts her arms around me, smiling in a way that I am now 100% sure means she loves me. We just need to learn to trust our feelings and talk to each other straight up when we're scared or something feels off. It may take me some time to get this touchy-feely stuff right. I've been out of practice for a decade. Shouldn't a guy who teaches a millennial masculinity class know more about touchy-feely things? How did you know about that class? My best guy friend taught me the importance of due diligence. He sounds like a pretty good guy, even if he's slow on the uptake. He's the best guy. She winds her arms around my neck. Can we go back to that part about forgetting the expiration date? I'd like nothing more. Does that mean we're officially a couple and I can call you mine? I'm partial to Orgasm King, but yours will do. As I lower my lips to hers, she says, thank you. For what? Being there to push me back up to the sky. It kills me knowing she felt like a falling star again, and I realize that's how I felt without her too, lost and far too alone. I go in for a kiss, and Molly shoves her big head between us. I groan, and my whirlwind beauty laughs, like sunshine to a fucking flower. And just like that, I find myself laughing too.
Chapter 30. Destiny. A hint of impending rain hangs in the air and leaves crunch under my feet. I kick them away from Molly's favorite spot in the sun in front of Fletch's fishing cabin, looking for her elk antler. It's mid-October, and we spent last weekend at the Bernice Mountain Dog Retreat and have been at the cabin ever since. I love it here, with its beautiful foliage and pristine lake, but I could love a desert if Fletch and our pets were with me. I gaze out at the lake, thinking about how autumn swept into upstate New York with all her cool grace and colorful glory, easing out the dog days of summer. I was sad to see them go, as they brought barbecues and fishing trips and so many new proposal clients Fletch should buy stock in pink carnations. I was finally able to hire Beth, who is nothing short of incredible. Between her marketing skills and my proposal expertise, we've grown the business to needing a third person to keep up. After the unforgettable birthday weekend Fletch threw for me, I wish he could be that person. He honored my family's tradition, decorating the house and waking me up at midnight. We spent the dark early hours of my birthday gazing up at my parents' stars as we shared more birthday memories. Then he whisked me off on a surprise trip to Rosebell. I hadn't realized how much I'd missed my hometown. I loved showing him all my favorite places and my childhood home. Rosebell will always own a special piece of my heart, but I have a new home now. With the help of Fletch's family and our friends, including Talia and the rest of the lovely Daltons, whom I finally met, I moved into Fletch's house a month after that fateful night when we proclaimed our love for each other. We learned a hard lesson that night, and we no longer waste any time on assumptions.
Hey, sunshine, did you find Clem's stuffed mouse?
Fletch asks as he and Molly come out the front door. He's carrying Clementine in his crate and checking his phone for the umpteenth time. He's been fielding texts from his family all week. His mother is trying to coordinate holiday plans with all of us and some out-of-town relatives I've yet to meet. Yes, our big, fluffy thief hid it in the leaves. I wave the soggy stuffy and kick something hard. I push the leaves away and pluck the elk antler off the ground. Aha! I hold it up like a prize. I told you I'd find Molly's antler.
I never doubted you would.
He sets Clementine's carrier in the back of the vehicle, and Molly jumps in beside it. He loves her up, and as I head over, he thumbs out a text and pockets his phone, flashing the warm smile that is no longer rare and still causes hummingbirds to take flight in my chest. Your mom again? Molly goes in for a slobbery kiss, and I gladly accept.
No, it was John. I texted him earlier to let him know we'd be late for dinner. He was just saying it was fine.
We were supposed to leave an hour ago, but I convinced Fletch to take one last walk by the lake with me and Molly because it's just so pretty here. It's almost 5, and it's a 2-hour drive. I'm glad they're willing to wait. I pull Molly's head from my face. Okay, stuffy thief, that's all you get right now. I give her the antler and put Clementine's toy in his carrier, giving him some extra love before Fletch closes the back door.
Ready to go home, beautiful?
Home. What a magical feeling it is to share a home overflowing with love again. Our own private buffer from the rest of the world. I wish we could stay another week. I like having you all to myself. Between my business and Fletch's teaching schedule, we have less time together than we had over the summer, but it makes the time we do have that much more special.
I was thinking the same thing.
His arms circle me.
We'll come back again soon, but we have to go.
He kisses me so thoroughly, I go up on my toes, wishing we could cancel dinner and stay for more. But that wouldn't be fair to Ruby and John. Fletch holds me tighter, making that growling noise I love.
I will never get enough of you.
He rasps against my lips and kisses me again.
To be continued.
I'm holding you to that. He helps me into my seat, and I get one last kiss before we get on the road. I don't know what it is about road trips that makes me chatter up a storm, but on the drive home, I talk about how much fun we've had this week, how much I enjoyed the Bernese Mountain Dog retreat, and I throw out ideas for Fletch's birthday next month, all of which he nixes. Are you turning into grumpy no-birthday, Gus? I tease.
No, I just don't need a party.
He reaches across the console and takes my hand.
Everything I need is right here in this Rover.
A loud sound cuts through the air, and the Rover veers to the right. Fletch grabs the steering wheel with both hands and slows us down as the telltale flap, flap, flap of a deflated tire rings out. He maneuvers to the side of the road, puts on the flashers, and cuts the engine.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. It's just a flat. We both look at Molly, who's looking at us like, are we there already? We climb out, and sure enough, the right front tire is flat.
Shit.
Fletch takes out his phone, thumbing out a text.
I'll let John know we're going to be later than we thought and call roadside assistance.
Don't be silly. I can change a flat in no time.
I don't even have a jack.
Of course you do. His brows slant.
I think I'd know if I had a jack.
Mm-hmm. Says the man who pays a guy to mow his lawn. Unable to resist teasing him, I push up my sleeves and look up at the gray sky. I know, Daddy, but he does other things so well.
Hey.
Open the back, Mr. Fix-It. I'll give you the lesson my daddy gave me when I was 13.
13? Really?
Yes. Some of us liked getting our hands dirty. While he puts the leash on Molly, I set Clementine's carrier in the grass. Your jack and tire are right under this flap. I lift the flap in the back and take out the jack and the lug wrench. I reach for the tire, but Fletch stops me.
I'll get it.
He hands me Molly's leash and takes out the spare, setting it on the ground.
Give me the jack.
Do you know how to find the jack point? Those expressive brows knit.
The what?
I giggle and hand him Molly's leash, then head for the flat tire. Come on, we won't use the jack until the lug nuts are loose, but let me show you how to find the jack point. Fletch crouches beside me, and I explain what the jack point is. I'm showing him how to find it when the sky opens up and rain pours down on us. I laugh. He curses. It's just rain.
We're going to be even later. Now we'll have to stop at home and change before dinner.
He pushes to his feet, pacing with Molly as I take off the hubcap. We have to drop off Molly and Clem anyway. He sighs heavily and thumbs out another text. Why are you so worried about dinner? I wipe the dirt from my hands on my shorts and struggle with loosening the lug nuts.
I don't like keeping people waiting. Let me do that.
I hand him the lug wrench. Don't take them all the way out yet. He looks at me like I don't know what I'm talking about, but he does as I ask and gets up to answer a text as I jack up the Rover. We take off the tire and crouch to put the spare on, but I slip and land on my butt in the mud.
Shit. Sorry, baby.
He grabs my hand to help me up, and I slip again, nearly pulling him down with me, which makes me laugh. I'm trying to wipe the rain from my eyes when I notice the rear tire has deflated too, and the tire is all I get out before another burst of laughter steals my voice, so I point to the deflated tire.
What is so?
The color drains from his face. That's when I notice Molly rolling in the mud, and I lose it. I'm laughing so hard, Fletch starts laughing too. He pulls me to my feet, and I hold my arms out, looking up at the darkening sky. We hear you, Mama. It's time to dance. I twirl around, dancing in the mud with Molly. Dance with us, Fletch. I spin around, and Fletch is down on one knee, holding his fist like it's a microphone as he starts singing to the tune of Marry You by Bruno Mars, only the lyrics are all his own.
It's a rainy night, and I had it all planned out. Hey, sunshine, it was the perfect proposal for you. But this is the way things go, and I definitely want to marry you.
Are you? Tears roll down my cheeks as he pushes to his feet and takes my hand.
Yes, I am. This isn't how I planned to propose to you, and I know it's not what you dreamed of, but I don't want to wait another second. Destiny, you came into my life like a whirlwind, and I have been swept up in you ever since, with your funky socks and boundless heart and that stunning smile that reels me in deeper every time I see it. I fell in love with you the way night takes over day, without warning, wholly and completely.
Fletch comes out in a whisper.
I love the way you laugh and cry and love, the way you make the world a better, brighter place and make me want to be a better man every day of my life. I want forever with you, baby. I want to raise creative, impulsive children who aren't afraid to grab life by the horns and wrangle it to their liking. Maybe one or two of them will have my careful side, but it'll be second to the rest.
You want kids? My voice cracks.
I want it all with you, sunshine. I want to carry on your family traditions and make our own. And when we're old and gray, we'll look back at all our special moments and the family we raised, and we'll laugh about all the things we did wrong and celebrate the things we did right. Destiny Grace Amore, will you do me the honor of marrying me and becoming Mrs. Try Real Hard?
I laugh and cry. Yes, I want forever with you too. I launch myself into his arms and he spins me around as we kiss. When he sets me on my feet, he slides the most beautiful diamond ring on my finger. It has a round center stone and two breathtaking halos like a flower. You had that in your pocket this whole time?
Yes. I've been planning tonight for a month. My family and all our friends are waiting for us at the Lucky Lizard, which is filled with pink carnations. I was going to get up on stage and sing the real words to that song to you and ask you to marry me in front of everyone you love. We were going to toast with sparkling sunshines, which is a drink I had them name after you. It's strong and sweet and fizzy with a kick.
I laughed through my tears. Perfect.
I should have known it wasn't going to go as planned when I asked your father for your hand and a bird pooped on my head.
Oh, my heart. A bird pooping on your head is good luck.
Really?
I nod. I can't believe you asked my dad for my hand.
I'm just glad he didn't spill the beans, but I can't believe you didn't have that on your checklist.
I didn't even know I wanted that to happen, which just goes to prove that my real Mr. Wright loves me so much he can read my heart.
Always and forever, sunshine. Even after we're up there in the sky partying with your parents.
We hope you have enjoyed this Brilliance audio production. Performance copyright 2024 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please visit our website at brilliancepublishing.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.